And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Yeah, I almost missed that intro right there because I was busy looking at a book. It's called Cell Rejuvenation, and the part that I'm looking at, just find this so fascinating. They're talking about the importance of, I wish it was easier just to download all this information into my brain where I could recall it instantly, but that's just not the way it is. Just about everything in this world is discipline, hard work, consistency, patience. It takes time, but they're talking about the element called selenium, which I really didn't plan on talking about this, but we have certain neurotransmitters that affect brain function. And they're phenomenal what they do when they're in balance. Have you ever heard of serotonin before? Well, serotonin, if you have a lack of it, it's a neurotransmitter that when you have plenty of it, usually you're pretty joyous, pretty easygoing, happy, easy to get along with. You certainly don't have depression. I mean, that's what you would experience if you had a deficiency of serotonin. If I'm not mistaken, I think about 90 to maybe 95% of all serotonin is produced within the gut. Does that kind of give you a clue that if you want to be a happy person and have plenty of motivation? I mean, that's what I've always read before, that when there's ample serotonin, you have good motivation. Do you know anybody? Do you have a lack of motivation? We might want to think about a different way of improving you, because I realize the number one prescription drug in the world could be called Prozac, and that's designed to bolster serotonin levels. Well, what if there is a disruption in how your body manufactures it? Well, would you like to know how to correct that? Anyway, there is a neurotransmitter called GABA, and GABA is just an acronym. It stands for gamma-aminobutyric acid. And I was reading some information earlier this morning, not right now. I was reading something different right now. But they were saying that this is the one where people become severely overwhelmed. And they become overtaxed. And they can't calm their mind down. Their mind just races. They say things that are inappropriate. They have no filters to control what comes out of their mouth. That's a GABA deficiency. Do you really want to lay down in bed at night and have your mind race 90 miles an hour and you can't turn it off, you can't make it stop thinking? There's a GABA deficiency right there. Well, one of the elements that your body requires to produce GABA is called selenium. And you get that from Brazil nuts. I'm trying to think if there's a better food source. Anyway, that's not really what I planned on talking about, but I still find that very interesting. So, is it possible that a person could have significant anxiety with a selenium deficiency? Well, yes. Have you ever had your doctor test you for a selenium deficiency? How about a zinc deficiency? You know, there is a very common prescription drug called Xanax. If I'm not mistaken, that's what Xanax does. It improves all the GABA receptor sites, or gamma-aminobutyric acid. That's the anxiety panic attack neurotransmitter. So much of the human body requires everything working together in harmony. Obviously, you want your brain working in harmony with your lungs. I always feel like that if I observe a person breathing about 20 to 25 times a minute, you know, just in, out, in, out, in, they're not getting generous carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide has a lot to do with how we absorb and regulate and maintain calcium and sodium and chloride levels. You want your heart to be relaxed and not have to work too hard? Well, you want to learn how to breathe through your nose and not rapidly mouth breathe. So, anyway, I'm getting off topic here. I want to give you, sometimes I like to talk about what you want to talk about. People call me at the office and they say, would you talk about this topic? A lot of times I do. I don't know if they, sometimes they call me too late where I can't really pursue a good conversation on the topics, and I may have to do it the next week, but I usually try to cover what people ask me to, because it's easy to do, and I like that anyway. But this morning, I want to spend just a little time talking about one element, and I realize everything that I'm saying, I'm just trying to make it just real simple. But I want to present a concept to you. Do you believe that God designed the body? If so, do you believe that God designed the body to heal itself and to repair itself? Well, my answer to that is obviously yes. And I don't even know how many times a week I'm just amazed at how rapidly someone starts to turn the tide and their fortunes turn from the better. They can go from very poor health to sometimes so quickly, when you just give them exactly what they needed, what they were deficient in, all of a sudden the body starts to work a whole lot better. But sometimes it's hard for us to figure out what we need or what we might be deficient in. Well, I think just about everybody that I would hang out with, they are probably all self-taught people who want to find ways to help themselves and help their fellow man. Sometimes they have very difficult circumstances that motivates them. They may have a lot of discouragement, but you're not supposed to let your discouragement lead to failure. It's supposed to spur you on to finding an answer to your question. Well, I want to talk this morning just briefly about a mineral called zinc. Sometimes when I drive down the highway and I see them repairing guardrails, I think, well, that's zinc plated. Or you've seen a trash can, well, that's zinc plated. Well, that's a form of zinc that we might use to weatherproof, metal to keep it from rusting. But the human body requires zinc. So one thing that I want you to consider is, what would happen if you actually fed and nourished your body with an adequate amount of zinc? And a lot of the information that I have this morning I got from Bill Sardi. But it's been estimated that there's probably easily 2 billion people living on our planet that are actually zinc deficient. See, believe it or not, the likelihood that you're deficient in zinc is actually very, very high, particularly if you're older or you're advancing in age. You might say that's 51. I would never say that, or 52. If you're a diabetic, if you drink alcoholic beverages, if you're a vegetarian, there are a plethora of drugs that are prescribed day in, day out that just rapidly deplete the body of zinc. And quite often, every time I ask a person, did your doctor tell you that would deplete you of zinc? They never say they did, ever. There's just not even any thoughts about that or any thought of what are the consequences of prescribing this particular medication and causing a severe depletion of zinc in this human being. One thing that I've read that I can't pursue totally because I need more information, but the term parasite, that may refer to any type of biological single-celled organism like a bacteria, an amoeba, protozoa, worms. I know worms have more than one cell anyway. But for some reason, they love to eat zinc. And they can cause such irritation that you just may not be able to absorb it, even if you're taking it. So there's a different thought. The gut is so critical to the health of the human body. If you can repair the gut, you can almost unlock the mystery of solving health problems. Now, people get a little bit of zinc every day without trying, but maybe the question is, are they absorbing as much as they need, or do they have enough zinc to meet all the requirements within the body? So if there's hundreds of enzymes that require zinc in order for them to work efficiently and properly, well, what if you're not getting enough zinc? Well, there's going to be a bunch of stuff that just goes undone, right? I read that the human body contains somewhere between 2 and 3 grams of zinc in store. Or another way of saying that would be 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of zinc. But what's interesting is, where is this stuff found? And this might be food for thought for you, but much of the zinc in the body is going to be found within the adrenal glands. Does that kind of give you a clue that the adrenal glands might be a very important organ system to try to improve upon, and zinc might be part of the equation? Did you realize a lot of the zinc in the body is stored both in besides the adrenals, but the brain and the eyes? Since the vast majority of all zinc is going to be stored within the adrenal cells, or brain cells, or within the cells of your eyes, it's not really free in the blood. So if you have a physician that tries to test you for zinc deficiency, and they use a blood test to do that, like a blood serum zinc test, well, guess what? It's going to be very notoriously inaccurate. And the truth is, most physicians aren't even aware that this is not an accurate test. So your body tries to jealously and covetously hold on to zinc inside the cells. It didn't really leave a lot for the bloodstream. You know what's kind of sad about this? Sometimes it appears that healthcare professionals don't really care about deficiencies of essential nutrients or vitamins or minerals, zinc just being one of them. We just kind of naturally assume if you're eating a bowl of sugar-frosted cocoa bombs that because it's fortified with zinc that you're getting everything you need. Well, is that true? I don't think so. So what we have is we have a situation where most people that have health problems are actually very, very deficient in the very things they need to operate their machinery properly. I know that your cells and your organs aren't machinery. But what would happen if we actually corrected deficiencies like zinc deficiencies? I think of all these different conditions that would walk into a doctor's office. It's really a zinc deficiency, but no, we're going to give drugs to solve that. So, zinc deficiency might be called good business. So there's a lot of people that are treated for mental issues. They have a plethora of heart problems. Their immune system is completely unable to efficiently and robustly take care of a virus or a bacteria or fungus. And I just wonder what health conditions could be solved just by giving a patient zinc or a human being zinc. You know, in trying to research zinc, and I know that I'm oversimplifying this, if you want to have optimal health, zinc is required to do that. Now, that's just a simple way of saying it, but just ask yourself the question, do I want to have radiant health? And if you do, you might want to consider whether or not you're getting enough zinc to meet all the requirements. You know, when God designed the cell, talk about a wonderful creation beyond the wildest imagination that I have. But we have this little strand of DNA. Well, did you realize that DNA, if it's going to repair, which you need it to repair, you've got to have zinc to do that. And without zinc, guess what? You're going to have a lot of repairs that aren't made. So what's the equation we're working with today? Okay. When cells and tissues and DNA and bones and joints break down at a faster rate than the ability of your body to make repairs, guess what you're going to have, folks? You're going to have symptoms. You're going to have problems. Well, what happens if your body can keep up with repair? What if the rate of tissue breakdown is easily equaled by the rate of tissue repair? So something becomes damaged, your body can, bam, instantly repair it. Well, that's one of the roles of zinc. So if you're not in good repair, I think you got to consider this. Let me see, where did I get this information right here? Earlier this morning, as in much earlier, I was reading that as we age, the rate of healing is about 50% slower or less than what it used to be compared to younger. Well, to me, that's very, very interesting because here's what they found with an animal experiment. I'm trying to think, what type of animal was this given? I think it was rats. Okay, that's why if I say the word rats, you know what I'm referring to. In this rat animal experiment, zinc deficient inflammatory response was observed even through laboratory animals when they were given sufficient amounts of zinc in their chow. Now, this means what researchers felt like was an adequate amount of zinc. When the animals, now get this right here, they felt like that they were given these lab rats plenty of zinc, okay? But they still had lots of inflammation and problems. Well, here's what they did. They gave these rats 10 times their dietary requirement for zinc, and the markers of inflammation declined to those of young animals. Interesting. So instead of being an 80-year-old rat, or the equivalent, they became like teenagers again. Again, researchers identify poor zinc absorption as a primary problem. So we know for a fact, aging is characterized by increased inflammation in the brain, in your midsection, Has anybody got a gut that's becoming bigger? We know that you can only live as long as your arteries maintain good health. How would you like to lose your vision? Well, I don't want to lose mine. See, zinc is essential for that. But zinc has been shown to control excess inflammation. That means your body makes repairs when there's when damage occurs. So if you're lacking zinc, guess what? There's going to be a lot of repairs that go undone, and you're going to age more rapidly. So here we have it right here. There's a strong correlation between zinc and aging. How many people notice that you have spots on your face? Patches of pigmentation you didn't have when you were younger? Well, see, in laboratory animals, if they induce a zinc deficiency, this almost always leads to accumulation of cellular debris called lipofuscin in the retina. And lipofuscin, well, this stuff also is what liver spots are. It's the first marker of aging inside cells. So zinc plays a role in that. I think a couple of months ago, I read an article about zinc lozenges helping to greatly shorten the duration of the cold or the flu, and it's true. But you realize that, you may not be aware, but zinc actually controls many of the reactions of the human immune system to invading bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells. Do you know that you got to have zinc for white blood cells to have the ability to track down and kill invading bacteria and viruses? So what happens when you lack sufficient zinc? Your white blood cells can't do their job. The largest gland that you have within your immune system is called the thymus gland. Who do you hear talking about the thymus gland besides me? I don't know who you hear. But if you don't have zinc, guess what the thymus gland does? It begins to shrink. Another term is called atrophy. Do you like it if things on your body shrink? No, you don't. If you're a man and used to weigh 170 pounds of just tremendous muscle, and now you weigh 145 and you're wasting weight, and that's atrophy right there. One study years ago said the number one predictor of how well that a man was going to age on this planet was physical strength. Are you better off becoming weaker? No. I talked to a woman on the phone this week. She says that she weighs 86 pounds. I know the height makes a difference if that 86 pounds is proportional, but I'm going to guess that she's probably underweight significantly. So if you want to have strength and reserve, well, zinc is one of those elements that prevents atrophy of the body. So without zinc, here's another study. The immune system runs out of control and massive inflammation results. That's probably too much information. It says even mild forms of zinc deficiency can impair your immune system. That just means you're more vulnerable to infection. For example, a zinc deficiency has been linked with persistent viral warts. You know, I'm trying to think, how often do I see warts on people's hands and feet? All the time. You know, the Latin root word immunis, that's where we get our word immune system, and we derive the word immune from immunis, and it means to untax or unburden. Do you really want to be burdened by lots of viral infections and bacterial infections and biofilms and cavities and sinus infections? No, you don't. You don't want any of that stuff. So they've shown in kids and the elderly, when they have zinc deficiency, they have warts, pneumonia, and upper respiratory tract infections all the time. They've even shown that zinc supplementation has been able to improve chronic hepatitis C infection, and it helps with recurring herpes infections. You ever heard of a body having cold sores on their lip? Well, that can be a zinc issue. Part of it, it's not the only thing. It might be a calcium issue also, an essential fatty acid. And I haven't got to that point yet, but one of the ways that you help enhance how your body absorbs zinc is fat. If you sat with me in my office all day long, sorry, I didn't pronounce that properly, but if you heard people tell me how they're terrified of fat, oh my goodness, I could be out in public and I can hear somebody say, oh no, it's got to be 100% fat free, or I won't eat that, I'm scared of fat. Well, fat is one of the mechanisms by which your body is able to absorb and assimilate zinc. And so if you're on a low-fat diet, good luck. I don't believe in luck, but just a figure of speech. I wish you the best absorbing zinc. It's not going to happen. Now, this may blow your mind right here, but you know what common symptoms of a zinc deficiency are? Have you ever heard of a heart condition called atrial fibrillation? Well, did you know that there's a high correlation with the zinc deficiency? How about diarrhea? Yeah, the zinc. If you have a lack of appetite, you just lose your appetite for food, that is classic zinc deficiency. If you have a loss of smell or taste, you got to have zinc to control olfaction or the sense of smell or the sense of taste. But one that really, really gets me is just the depression. I kind of started off with that your body requires a little bit of selenium in order to make those good neurotransmitters that make you feel like a good, productive member of society. But zinc, you're more prone to depression. Your immune system's more weak, which means you're going to be more prone to getting sick and infections than other people in a similar fashion. You're prone to hair loss. With men, they have tremendous impotence. Not a good deal. Have you ever had a sore or a wound that just won't heal? Well, you think about a zinc deficiency. So if somebody has dyslexia, if they have mental lethargy, if they're sluggish, in little kids, what you're going to see is they just don't grow as fast as their counterparts. They're a lot shorter and smaller than what they should be. So, of course, anorexia, that's been shown to be a zinc deficiency. A lot of cases of anemia. Okay, I'm looking at information about obesity. Zinc supplementation has beneficial effects on sugar control among diabetics. Might be good information for you to hear. A gentleman called last week, and I was almost positive that about 3 or 4 years earlier, he called my office saying he had a diagnosis of diabetes. And so from my memory, I said, well, it depends on... Well, he didn't have any clue what I was talking about. Am I just going bonkers here? But I thought he told me 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't seen him in a long time, but he was telling me he had diabetes, so I was trying to angle that. So we just didn't connect on that. But you probably heard that. All right. Anyway, I got sidetracked on that. It just shows that you got to have zinc in order to have proper blood sugar control. Now, this to me is very interesting. There's a gland, four small dot-like glands found within the thyroid called the parathyroid. And the parathyroid produces hormones like parathormone, calcitonin, stuff like that. But it's very, very intricately intertwined with calcium control. Trying to make sure, so a lot of times if calcium becomes much, much higher in the bloodstream than what you'd like it to be, you start thinking, okay, the parathyroids are just losing their function, they're not working right. But this article that I read on my lunch break this week was talking about the role of vitamin D sometimes can take over for that, and vitamin K2, and I thought, there you go, we've got another backup system. But a lot of times people just don't give sunshine the credit it's due. Technically, it's free. I know, you may lose a penny by walking outside and losing some heat or some cold air, I don't know. But zinc, it seems to act like insulin does. Insulin has got to be one of the most fabulous hormones in the human body, but if that gets out of whack, if there's too much of it, you're going to have problems. About 70 years ago, it was shown that zinc was really, really involved in how well your pancreas works, especially as it relates to blood sugar control and thus diabetes. And only recently, researchers are starting to connect links. It's taken them a long time, even though the research has been out for a long time, to kind of put two and two together. But all this research is starting to unfold, and they're saying right now that a combination of zinc plus selenium, it appears to really improve the anti-diabetic effects of zinc. Well, what about the brain? Did you know that a zinc deficiency is associated with Alzheimer's disease? There was a small six-month zinc supplementation study pointed to significantly benefit Alzheimer's patients. I would like that they would do a much larger study, because so far, I'm not aware of anything in medicine that's radically changed the outcome of Alzheimer's, except we're getting more of it. It's affecting more people. It's devastating more families, and something's going to have to give. If we pour all our energy into trying to design some type of a vaccine or drug, I just don't. You know what? I'm becoming more cynical about that stuff. Ever since my doors have been open, I've had patient after patient say, "Well, this drug salesman just told me there's fixing to be a vaccine," or "My doctor said it's just 6 months away." Well, that's never materialized. Don't you think I wish it was something as simple as that? But right now, you and I have within our power to start correcting these things. And so even though this was a small study, it showed there was a good outcome just with correcting the zinc deficiency. Dr. William Walsh, author of Nutrient Power, he says that many children with behavior problems, they have what's called a pyrrole disorder. That is a genetic abnormality that depletes vitamin B6 and zinc from the body, and it produces a wide range of symptoms in these kids, like anxiety, depression, poor digestion. Now, the one that's mentioned next really gets my attention, motion sickness. You ever seen a child lose their balance easily or just being very, very clumsy? Kind of makes me think of that. Reading and learning problems. You know any kids that have reading or learning problems? Well, it could be like a zinc and a B6 issue because of a genetic weakness. You might have to give a little bit extra to kind of nudge that genetic code or the DNA to function a little bit better because it needs more. You ever heard of somebody with poor memory or allergies, mood swings? What if that could all be remedied with just dietary supplementation? Didn't require exotic drugs that destroy the body. Here we go right here. Came across this one study that was linked to higher dietary zinc intake with improved mood. Isn't that interesting? Do you know anybody that's a little bit dicey to get close to them because you don't know what mood they're going to be in? And you don't know which version you're going to get of the person that day. It could be the one that's sort of okay to be around, or you could be around the other side of the coin where they're just about to blow. Well, they're saying that might be related to zinc. Now get this right here. Do you know what the word subclinical means? Subclinical means that the person doesn't have any apparent signs or symptoms that are detectable by physical examination or laboratory tests. So these are the people that are conundrums to physicians or nurses. You go into the hospital and they look at you. You know you don't feel right, but they tell you everything's normal. Isn't that discouraging? But get this right here. A subclinical zinc deficiency, which means they can't really determine if you have one, but you do, it deleteriously affects brain function. They had six different zinc trials that showed that a subclinical deficiency of zinc impairs brain function in children and adults. What that means is once they give them zinc, they have much better mental function, brain function, they have a lot less depression. Now, get this one right here. You're probably thinking, well, you know, none of these things affect me, Dr. Morgan. All I hear you doing is talking about, you know, depression and the immune system. Well, get this right here. You ever heard of a condition called atrial fibrillation? I'm telling you, this is a very stubborn and perplexing problem that's plaguing hospitals and nursing homes and people today. Now, one thing that I read right here is that post-operative patients who have undergone heart bypass surgery, they are the ones that frequently experience atrial fibrillation, which is often related to a slow return of zinc levels in these patients. So they're theorizing now in this one medical study that it's possible to reverse atrial fibrillation just with zinc supplementation. Or better yet, what if you knew that you were getting ready for some type of surgical procedure? Would it be a good idea to try to upregulate your zinc levels, get them in a little bit better reserves prior to the surgery? Because last time I checked, having a surgery is a pretty, pretty big deal. Okay, enough of that. Just tidbits of information. Zinc deficiency is associated with a low sperm count. Maybe you've been trying to have a baby and you just can't. Well, you might want to consider that. especially if you're the man. Well, obviously, women don't have sperm, men do. But if you have a hard time becoming pregnant, you might consider zinc. Do you know that a zinc deficiency increases cavities in the mouth? So it's almost as if that you more easily lose the resilience and the integrity of the enamel of your teeth when you're low in zinc. Which, very, very interesting. They also go on to say that zinc deficiency in the skin is associated with acne and psoriasis. Anybody you know suffering with acne or zits might be something to consider and think about. They show that zinc supplementation is associated with a 14% reduction in preterm birth. If you called me on the phone and said, Dr. Morgan, I can guarantee you a 14% positive return on your money with no risk, you'd probably tell me that that investment doesn't exist. I know those things happen. I know people all the time get returns of 30% and 20%. But do you know of any financial institution where I can park $100 and you can tell me at the end of the year it's going to have $14 more in the bank account? Well, that would be a positive way of looking at it. But so if you want things to go well with your pregnancy, zinc might be pretty doggone important. You know, it's only been shown here of late, that zinc is really, really critical if you're trying to rejuvenate your bones. So if you've gone to the doctor and they've determined that you have osteopenia or osteoporosis, well, you might want to consider a zinc deficiency. If you have osteoporosis, sure, I realize it's going to be very, very popular to recommend drugs. But you got to understand, folks, it's food and nutrients. That's what rejuvenates the body. That's what they require for growth and health. All right, Dr. Morgan back here. Sorry about that. All right, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, this is not a recorded program. It's live. So feel free to call in and ask a question. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Well, I'm doing a little better. How are you, Dr. Morgan?
I am great. Thank you. Now, I'm glad you're better.
Thank you. What I'm calling about this morning, you may not want to talk about. Here a couple of weeks ago, after being on a bunch of antibiotics that had just made me sick, they were treating me for diverticulitis, and I finally just quit them because they kept saying that the pain was over here in my left side of my abdomen, and I kept telling them that the pain was equal or greater on the right side of my abdomen, and they ignored it. And I couldn't get a hold of you, and so anyway, I called this holistic woman out of state. And I talked to her for about 40 minutes, and she recommended a bunch of stuff, and I ordered it from her. And she changed my diet dramatically. The results have not been negative. They have been more positive. My pain in the abdomen has gone away. I'm taking this Awa Flora. It's 1 ounce in water 3 times a day.
Well, what are you trying to do? What would you like to see happen?
Well, I'd like to be healthy.
Do you actually have a confirmation of having a diverticuli or diverticulitis?
Yes.
Well, I'll just try to make it simple, and you tell me if you agree with what I'm saying. You're supposed to have this very generous, luxurious coating of beneficial microbes and bacteria. And usually when you have plenty of them, they give a very protective covering of every square inch of your colon or your gut. And so when you have a bunch of those, it's kind of hard for bad germs to start growing and the colon to become inflamed. So you mentioned flora. That's probably a great idea. Number two, the number one predictor is someone's going to have an infection that's hard to get rid of is going to be sugar consumption. So if you radically change your diet and you go more to vegetables and meats that are easy to digest, that's probably like a really good strategy, right?
Yeah.
If somebody comes into my office and they have a problem with diverticulitis, I'm doing everything that I can to convince them to improve the muscle tone of their abdominal muscles. Would you say that you have pretty good muscle tone of your gut?
I really do, yeah.
Okay. Why would you think that you would develop diverticulitis?
Well, I have no idea.
Well, she radically changed your diet. What were you eating before to what are you eating now?
Well, that's the main reason that I called, is the diet that she's put me on. Mainly what she wants me to eat is meat and fish, protein, and watery vegetables. She took me off of my Bragg vinegar. She took me off of no fruit juices, just a lot of that stuff. And
yeah.
I talked to her, and she says, I said, how, you know, maybe 10 days after I started this stuff. And she said, you know, I told her, feeling better, pain's mostly gone. And I said, how long do I have to continue this diet? And she says, as long as you want to be healthy. I can't see that. It just don't seem right that I not ever eat again fruit and things that, you know, God created.
In the first place, I'm pretty sure I know what she's trying to do. She's trying to put you on a very low carbohydrate diet for the purpose of trying to starve out all the toxic forms of bacteria. I know it was a little bit early, but at 5 o'clock this morning on one of the local FM stations, they were talking about the problem with antibiotic-resistant germs like staph and E. coli and strep and all the other delicious-sounding toxic bacteria they were talking about, but they were talking about biofilms. And they were saying that this is becoming such a plague of the nursing home facilities and hospitals that doctors are just at their wits' end on how to get rid of these infections. So when she puts you on foods like fish and meat and vegetables, and you avoid the other stuff, she's just trying to starve out the infection, most likely. But then again, I mean, I really haven't examined you. I can only just guess. So I would say, number one, the more physically fit you are, the better you're off you're going to be. I think I spent probably 30 minutes talking about zinc this morning. You've got to have zinc in order to have proper immune function. And so anytime that you have less than adequate zinc...
I was taking zinc supplement before I contacted her, and some of the stuff that she gives me has zinc in it. So,
how many rounds of antibiotics have you had in your lifetime?
Numerous.
Okay. Well, the foot is in the door then. So, how do you want me to help you today?
Well.
I mean, obviously, I agree with what you're saying. The idea of living the rest of your life without eating fruit, that doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
But I mean, but what you're doing is you've already made contact with this woman, and you're following her advice, and you seem to be getting some results. So, I mean, you just have to decide what you want to do. Do you want to get further investigation and find out if there's a different way to go about doing this? When I mentioned abdominal muscle tone, you said yours is great. So...
I wouldn't go as far as, we're above average. I'm almost 70 years old. And, for years I've done this, modified pelvic tilt exercise.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And, I have a bad back, and pelvic tilt exercises, which they prescribed years ago, actually hurt my back. So over time I modified it. And
can you do sit-ups easily?
Probably.
Well, I mean, are they hard? Is it hard for you to do crunches or sit-ups?
No.
Okay, I was just asking.
No, I don't try to do the sit-ups because of the spine, my lumbar spine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's.
Well, the reason I asked that was because sometimes if people can't do sit-ups easily and efficiently, I don't think it's really the sit-up that's causing the problem. I think it's a condition of the gut. So if the gut is weak and inflamed, that's where a person has a very, very hard time doing a sit-up. So, or doing it properly. Now, this week I was looking through a journal, And it showed the a picture of an, well, I don't know how old the guy was. It didn't say that. I don't know why I said that. But somebody that was taking a baby aspirin every day, and it was showing these huge, huge ulcers in the duodenum. And I think it even showed a couple of pictures of these huge, cavernous, valley-like erosions in the colon, all from taking a baby aspirin. And it was just showing how these things can, over time, just totally eat holes in the colon. And that's not the only thing, but, I mean, any anti-inflammatory drug or antibiotics, those are world famous for breaking down the lining of the gut where it becomes weaker over time. Just like if you pulled up at an intersection and you saw a woman with a carload of kids and you saw her rear tire on the passenger side, maybe away from her, had this, the tire was low and it had a big bubble in it, or a, you know, a weakness in the tread, you'd probably say, "Hey, lady, your rear tire's low. It's got a bubble in it. You may not want to go 70 miles an hour down the highway lest you blow a tire or something and have a wreck and flip into the car and die or something." But that's what a diverticuli is. There's a weakness in the colon where a pocket develops, and that pocket can accumulate all manner of debris, but I sure do like those to pop out. So I'm just giving you ideas, but I can't figure it out over the radio. But, I mean, I would think the more antibiotic therapy that you had, this is probably where we want to start reconditioning the gut, and there's lots of ways of doing that. So if you've got a good plan with her right now, just keep going with it until you, it maybe it'll take you as far as you can go, but that's usually been my experience. That can only take you so far. But I would say your idea of working with the probiotics is a very, very good idea, so keep it up. I'm proud of you.
Okay, is this our floor? Is that like the probiotic?
That's what I'm guessing. I don't know what the product is, and I don't know what the organisms are, but I'm guessing it's a probiotic.
Because when I told her that I was on probiotics, as soon as I quit the antibiotics, I got on probiotics.
Good.
She told me to quit them.
Well, how'd she determine if yours were good or not?
Well, she said the probiotics are from animal guts, and that there's a difference between animals and people.
Well, we're all mammals.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, thanks for your call today. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. I can give you some pointers and tell you what I would do. Number one, you want to try to determine how efficiently... Actually, let me cut to the chase and just say this. Okay, I realize this is kind of coming from out left field. So much of what goes on within the human body is just, it just goes without much attention at all. It doesn't really, if, what do you do when you have a subclinical condition and you don't know what to do? Well, diverticulitis is pretty doggone serious. And that's one thing that you probably really want to get right. Now, a lot of the laboratories, modern laboratories, they'll do what's called a comprehensive digestive stool analysis. And the stool analysis actually tells you in just real-world, you know, terms, how efficiently am I digesting the food that's inside of me? But they also look for very, very specific markers for inflammation within the gut. Sometimes you may not know that you have inflammation in the gut. You might just wake up one day and say, "I have diverticulitis and I'm perfect and I'm 70 years old. I don't know. But that would be one of the simplest tests that I know of. And one of the things that a digestive stool analysis can do very, very easily, they literally try to grow and culture all the different types of beneficial microbes that live in your body. But what if they culture some that are quite toxic? What's the potential of getting strep throat in your family? Is it real low? Is it high? What if there's a family that everybody in the house just keeps sharing strep throat, keeps coming back over and over and over again? Could that devastate the body? Oh, my word, yes. Because what it represents is, well, let me start over, good beneficial microbes and good flora and good probiotics. What you want them to do is you want them to colonize the digestive tract. And you want them to grow a nice, friendly neighborhood to live in. You don't want there to be any room for toxic bacteria to live. You want there to be good guys. And the good guys, guess what they do? About 15% of all the food that you're eating is going to be food for microbes. And so what you put into your body is going to make a huge difference if you're going to have good gut health or not. But over time, if you start to lose a ton of your digestive tract, if you have a deficiency of digestive enzymes, that's one of the reasons why, if you don't know what to do, a comprehensive digestive stool analysis, that might be right up your alley, no pun intended, on trying to find out what's going to lead to a good change. But you'll be able to learn real quick, do you have deficiencies? Do you have weaknesses? And if you do, let's take care of them, because you're already a motivated individual. But a stool analysis will grow and culture the beneficial microbes, and they'll tell you, do I have enough of the good guys or do I have too much of the bad guys? That's easy to do. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I was going to ask you about, again, go back to osteoporosis. I was diagnosed a couple of months ago, and due to I took the radiation drink for thyroid cancer, in 86, and all of a sudden then I was very active, working hard on the farm and everything, and all of a sudden, you know, I can hardly, I'm having muscle cramps in my legs, and my bones are just really giving me a lot of trouble and a lot of pain. And they recommended a shot of Prolalis, and I told them I'd think about it. But I was hearing about zinc. Do you think that is zinc the way to go?
Well, that's one of the things you want to think of. If back in 1986 you had the radioactive drink to kind of take care of your thyroid, probably what they did was they overdosed you on levothyroxine or Synthroid, and that's maybe the most famous drug for causing bone loss that I know of, because it speeds up your metabolism and you lose calcium faster.
Yeah, I ended up getting an overdose later, shortly after the surgery, and then when they gave me the radiation, less than a week, and a couple of weeks later, I had a breakdown of all my nervous system in severe pain. I couldn't even put on my clothes, and I ended up...
Oh, bless your heart. Goodness.
He put me 3 days on, and I guess he gave me antihistamines. I don't know what he... I thought that's what they said, to calm down the overdose. And after that, I got better, but... just recently, I'm just in really, all of a sudden, from just really good health to where I can barely walk.
Well, let me give you an idea. Does it mean that I'm right about this? And for all I know, I could be totally wrong. But over time, I find more and more people, their bodies just can't tolerate the levothyroxine or the Synthroid any longer. And what you may look at is there's a lot of natural products out there that can actually work better for you. One's called Armour Thyroid. There's one called WP Armour. Armour, yes. It's more of a natural thyroid. I mean, yeah, it's a kind of a cow or a sheep source, but I think it can be more compatible. Now, some people do better with one called WP Thyroid. These are just natural as opposed to synthetic. See, Synthroid, that's almost sounds like synthetic thyroid, doesn't it?
Yes, I've been on levothyroxine or whatever for 20 years, but I just recently then asked the doctor to change it because I didn't think it was working anymore. And
I'm going to go with what you said. You have this gut instinct that maybe it's not working as efficiently as it did. There's another one that I've asked a lot of women if they do well, and it's called Naturethroid. And that's a lot of doctors are very uncomfortable with these things because they're not standardized like regular drugs are. But they're from natural animal sources, and a lot of times they work so much better than levothyroxine does. So that may be one thing that can help tilt the balance in your favor, but we don't want your body breaking down prematurely. So if I told you what I think, let me give you just a brief rundown. If we could solve that, that would probably be a huge bonus, number one.
Yes.
If I told you what I thought was the most important, I'm going to say vitamin K2. It's a fat-soluble vitamin. That probably has more to do with trying to recrystallize your bones with calcium than probably any other element that I can think of, especially taking calcium. So vitamin K2 is important. Vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, that's very important. I really believe that magnesium is so much more important than calcium could ever be at trying to rebuild the structure of your bones. It just is.
I'm taking all of those. I'm taking 500 of magnesium. Taking the K2.
Uh-huh. If somebody has a hard time building bones, I've got to go back and look at the thyroid. And the levothyroxine may be one of the most famous drugs of all time for causing bone loss. And so I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm not. And I'm sorry.
No, I believe it.
Well,
yeah, I believe it.
I know my personality. I'm just a real black and white type person. If I could actually word this better where it sounded more compassionate, I am. I care about you. But I'm just trying to be black and white for the time that we have this morning. But you may want to consider something like Nature Throid as a way to kind of solve this mystery. Because if we don't do some damage control and keep the excessive bone loss from... If you're leaking... this is going to sound pretty wild, but since you're a farmer, how big is 30 acres of land?
Pretty big.
Did you know that if we took all the bone crystals out of your bones and laid them side by side, these are made of calcium... You know they would cover 30 acres?
Wow.
If we just laid them down flat side by side like tiles. Tiles on the floor. Yeah, I just read that this week. Well, that impressed me. But it would cover 30 acres, the surface area. Just phenomenal.
Wow.
How God designed the bones. But your bones are this living matrix of energy. Now, sometimes, and don't laugh at me for saying this, but if I have a patient that's in a crisis... there's a company that I use, and one of their calcium products, I know this is going to sound gross, I'm sorry. When they harvest the bones from a calf, they take the vertebrae or the spines and the ribs, and they put in this huge stainless steel barrel with a bunch of stainless steel bowling balls and porcelain bowling balls, and they just crush it and pulverize it into dust. But it's raw bone calcium.
Mm.
My wife went to an estate sale, and she bought this very extremely long-handled teeny-tiny spoon with a scoop on it. I said, what's that, dude?
Sorry. That's my donkey.
No, I know I was going to make a joke out of that, but I never did it. I had impulse control. I was going to say Lorella. But anyway, that long spoon is a marrow spoon. What people would do is they used to cook bones, and they would just scoop the marrow out of those long bones and pull it out and eat it. And but these calcium supplements, what I'm looking for is just a tremendous... A woman came to see me recently. She's complaining of just real severe bone pain from a fracture. And when she came back in, I said, how's your fracture pain? She said, I don't have any more. And it never even registered with her. The guy that came to see me yesterday, he had severe neck pain, severe headaches. He said he wanted to lose weight over the course of the last month, and his sleep was really rotten. And so when I asked him, I said, how's your sleep? He said, oh, my sleep's a whole lot better. How's your neck pain? Oh, it's completely gone. How are your headaches? It's gone. But he told me he was extremely disappointed because he only lost 10 pounds. I'm going, what do I have to do to get, to concentrate on that you've made progress? And that's really what I want people to do. So if you felt better, but we've got to stimulate your body to repair the bones better. But it may start with, if you can find a physician, and it shouldn't be hard at all. All you got to do is just walk in and say, I think the levothyroxine is the problem. But until they do a complete thyroid workup, you're not going to really know for sure. Other than, actually, you know how doctors used to do this 60 years ago? They never had blood tests. They would just give a desiccated thyroid from a cow or a sheep and say, do you feel good today? And within a day or two, it's like somebody flipped on a switch. But you might look into something called Armour Thyroid or WP Thyroid or Cytomel or Nature Throid. And I've had a lot of women here recently. It just may be on the forefront of my mind. Make the comment, I just do so much better when I'm on Nature Throid. But we've got to stop the damage control, and those drugs are just the most the Synthroid I'm in, or the levothyroxine. It's just very famous for causing excessive bone loss, just rapid bone loss, because you sound like you're a real young girl.
Well, I'm 67, but I've kept myself, always have been a health nut.
Yes,
and,
you have.
Tried to. But Well, I've been very active. I mean, I just moved from the city, from Dallas, a couple of years ago to the country, and I've been working harder than I have probably my whole life out here, trying to clear the land and everything, but lately I can't hardly do, I mean, I can hardly stand. It feels like my bones are getting so sharp and pointed that they're cutting through.
Well, you tell me, what is the most important issue to resolve first? Is it the pain in your bones?
Yeah.
I tell you what, that raw bone calcium I use, sometimes I see results in one day.
What was the name of that stuff?
Well, it's a product called Calcifood. There's another one called Biodent by Standard Process. But it's about the only supplement manufacturer I know of that utilizes raw bone.
Raw bone, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but I mean, it can be night and day difference in all your... And see, I know this is going to sound bizarre, but I'm going to take a little bit of a risk right here. And, I hate to do this because it's going to make me sound like a nutso person. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. A lot of times, if I touch a bone on your body, and you just choose a bone, which bones hurt the most? Where do you have the most pain?
Probably around my hip area and my thigh.
Okay. Well, let's just say, for example, I'm going to choose the hip bone because that's one that I can get to pretty easy. So, if I take my fingers and I press into your hip bone and I say, give me a rating on the pain, 10 is by far and away the most pain and 1 is the least. And let's just say that you say, you know what, that really hurts when you touch that point. Or in the hip area, it's because there's not much skin over it, it's easier for me to press into the greater trochanter, and that's the top of the, you know, your femur. And so if I press in that and you say, oh my word, that pain is easily... you know, an eight and a half. I don't like that. Stop that, Dr. Morgan. I go, okay, I was just trying to get a reading. And sometimes I'll have a person hold a supplement in their hand over the bone, and then I'll touch it using the same pressure, the same technique. And like I had a lady yesterday in my office, she said the bone pain went from an 8 to none. It doesn't even hurt now. Take the supplement out of her hand that has what she needs. But that's a very old technique that's been used since the 1920s by osteopaths. But I love that technique because you'll get just, and you don't obviously hold the supplement in your hand. You have to take it internally to get the extract the benefit from it.